Yeah, the composition is shared between me, Jack, and Johnny. Essentially, I mean, I think every band runs this same kind of thing where, you know, someone comes up with an idea, and then you get that idea on an MP3. You know, we then bring it home, hash it out in our own times, and then when we get together for writing, we kind of see what is working, and we see what we want to explore with the song. You know, for End It Will All End Forever, we did have a really good idea of what we wanted to do with End It Will All End Forever in terms of composition and all the instruments doing what they wanted to do. So yeah, it's kind of just getting together, hashing out details, making sure that everybody's happy with the final result, like no one's humming or hawing over a song. You know, if someone is not liking something, we want to make sure that everybody is like 100% on the song, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. It's, I mean, sometimes you have democracies in band, sometimes you don't, but, or there's a certain percentage of democracy, or share on the, you know, decision-making, process. But yes, for sure. No, it's great if you can kind of, you know, well, agree, like ultimately to 100%. That's definitely super cool. So that's awesome. Okay, we're gonna play another song from Art of Attrition right now, and we'll be right back with our interview with Greg here at the Metal Meltdown. Welcome back to the Metal Meltdown. Soy el Dr. Misterio, and you're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from unceded Coast Salish territory in Burnaby, British Columbia, the campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University. We just listened to the song Hunt from our guests tonight, Art of Attrition. And this one is from their album The Void Eternal from 2022. And yeah, let's continue our chat with Greg. Are you starting touring already to promote this EP, or I guess did you have a chance to, or when was the last chance you got to tour to promote the LP, whichever it's, I don't know.
Oh yeah, we already finished that up. Yeah, we did quite a few dates in Canada and a little bit of the States. You know, I think we did like nine dates to promote this EP. Mm-hmm. And I mean, to the listener, I mean, that's not a lot of dates, but for us in Canada, that is quite a few dates, just because trying to tour Canada is incredibly difficult and it takes a lot of time. So basically, you know, we had the Cascadian Carnage and It Will All End Forever tour, and obviously we just, that was our thing. So we did Vancouver, Funhouse, which was in Seattle, Cruisers in Spokane, and then we did the Handsome Daughter in Winnipeg, then the Black Cat Tavern in Saskatoon, and then we hopped on some shows with Angel Maker and I Declare War. I'm sure you may be familiar with them. So we did the Starlight Room, the Exchange, Dickens, and then we did our only festival appearance, which was at Loud as Hell. So that was kind of our circuit for the End It Will All End Forever EP.
No, that's pretty good. You covered, like you said, a lot of ground. That's a lot of kilometers there. Were you?
Yeah, it was.
Go ahead.
Oh yeah, I just was saying yeah. It was quite a few kilometers for sure.
And I guess you guys were in a band. Is that you know, the usual?
You know, yeah. We don't do a trailer. We only do a van. So basically, we can have all of our equipment in one van. Because the boys they do all DI. And then I can make my drum set pretty compact. And then our production, we don't have amps. We don't have anything like that. So it makes it a lot easier to travel and play shows.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I mean, you know, the lighter, the better, I guess, especially if you're going to be traveling long ways. So that's cool.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier. Yeah, pulling a trailer is good for like long haul tours, but even then, like, you know, gas ain't cheap, yo.
Yes, that is true. Oh man, it hasn't been for I don't know how many years now, but yes, I hear you. Yes, so there's some economies there, but there's also some, you know, expenses there with the van. So did you have a chance to, well, even if you didn't have a chance to go to the States before, did you notice any differences between, I don't know, the crowds, the organization, I don't know, you know, the culture inside the concerts, you know, or not really?
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so I guess to frame this up for you, like I've done a lot of session touring for bands. So I've been, you know, I've been around North America a couple times. I've been to Europe, you know, I've basically, so, you know, lack of a better word, seen it all. When we went, when we went down to the States, it was a big risk. You know, being a Canadian band with like less than, you know, 5,000 followers on Spotify and Instagram, it's a massive risk to take on. So, I mean, we loved it. Like, being in the States is awesome. Everyone there is so friendly, and you get to, you know, you get to see a different city and a different vibe, and you get to drive, you know, the beautiful countryside and so on and so forth. We made genuine fans there. Genuine fans, genuine friends. It was good. I love North America. I love America. It's always a good time. It's just really, really, really hard for Canadian musicians to be in the States.
I see. And how about the paperwork? Is that not too bad, or?
The paperwork to do your P2 visas is, it's pretty straightforward, you know. Mm-hmm. You need your passport. You need to be a part of your union, your music union.
Mm-hmm.
So the CFM, Canadian Federation of Musicians, works with the American Federation of Musicians, who works with Homeland Security, which basically is the person that issues the P2. There's many other forms you can do, but for a band of, you know, our level, P2s are the most inexpensive. So in itself, paperwork is very straightforward. However, what is not easy is getting venues or getting talent buyers to book you a date and, you know, get a guarantee and all this stuff. So going back to, you know, the whole 5,000 follower thing, you know, you need to have some sort of following before you go in the States. That's just, you know, that's just a given, because it's so hard for a talent buyer to, you know, have yes. faith that you'll bring people to the venue, because that's essentially what they want, right? It's a business. It's not, it's not anything other than that. And if they won't book you if you're not going to bring people. And in order for you to get booked, you need to either have something behind you, or you need to be with a booking agency. But the only way you can be with a booking agency is if you're pulling people, you know. So,
yeah, it's kind of a circle there.
Yeah, and it's also hard because right now, the P2 visas, the wait time is 5.5 months. And there is no venue on this planet who is booking that far in ahead, unless, of course, unless you have massive draw.
Correct.
So essentially what is happening is, you know, to any of our listeners who are CFM affiliated, they're upselling. So basically, you know, for example, you know, I'd submitted our P2s in the allotted time, which is 90 to 100, 120 days, and then you get an email saying, oh, yeah, it's 5.5 months now, you know. But, you know, if you send us $2,000 American, or I can't remember how much it is, but, yes. you know, it's not a low number anymore, we'll process it in 21 to 30 days, you know, 30, and that's calendar days. Not yes. business days, that's calendar days. But you know what I mean? Like, it's like, why are you upselling us? Like, you're supposed to be helping navigate us, and, like, you know, you're supposed to be, you know, working together to make it easier for Canadian musicians to get across, not upselling us.
Yes.
So the paperwork isn't the problem. It's everything on the other end where it's like, you know, the only way that you're getting across the border in an orderly fashion, in an orderly time, is if you're spending $4,000 Canadian. You know what I mean? And
that's very interesting. Well, it is interesting because, yeah, some of us are don't know, you know, what exactly needs to happen for, you know, for bands to go over there. So, well, thank you. This is very, you know, it's kind of, yeah, discouraging, or I mean, bureaucratic or both, but yeah, interesting nevertheless. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, no worries.
All right. So where can people find news, merchandise, music from Art of Attrition?
Yeah, so we try to consolidate as much as we can. You know, artofattrition.com is our website. And from there, you can navigate, you know, print-on-demand merch. You can, you know, click on our YouTube. You can go to our Spotify. Where we are most active is Instagram. We love to interact with people on Instagram. We also love when people follow us on Spotify. You know, our main goal is we really want to get to about 5,000 followers on Spotify and Instagram. That's a goal of ours. You know, it takes time, obviously, because nothing happens overnight. So if you're listening, hit us up on Spotify. You know, put us on your playlist, share us. You know, anything helps, because, you know, we appreciate every listener.
No, yeah, absolutely. That's, I guess, one of the reasons to spread the word, you know, about you guys. So yes, for sure. Yeah, well, I want to thank you very, very much, Greg, for being with us tonight. I appreciate it. We always learn, you know, something, or laugh, or both, when we're chatting with bands. So today was thankfully not the exception.
We had,
you know, a few laughs and then some kind of serious moments, but anyway, you know, I guess that's a little resemblance of life itself. But thank you very much for being with us tonight.
Yeah, anytime.
All right. Yeah, when you get new material or your new tours, whatever, let us know, and we will be more than happy to spread the word.
Hell yeah. And you said you're out of Vancouver, yeah?
Yes, we're in Vancouver.
Where
yes.
Are you at it?
Correct, Vancouver.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yes. All right. Thanks again.
Love Vancouver. Yeah, thank you.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you.